come to order because I think we're going to have some lively discussion here. Mr. Cross, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Charles Gaskin.
Present.
Ellen Hartz.
Here.
Tori Gonzalez.
Present.
Mark Harvey. Michael Miller.
Here.
Patricia McQueen.
Here.
Margaret Holly.
Present.
We have a quorum, and let the record reflect Council Liaison Hells and City Attorney Mr. Mulligan and Director Cross are all present.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for making time on December the 23rd. Do we have any comments from the public?
I did not come across any comments or receive any comments that I was able to identify, so no.
Interesting. Okay. Are there any corrections then to the minutes?
I only have a question.
December 3rd.
And that is that the minutes are very different last time and this time than they have been. In the past, they've kind of been a transcript of the meeting instead of a summary. And so I am assuming that because the meetings are recorded, that those details do not need to be written because we can go back and see what people said. Therefore, it's not necessary to approve the recording, only this summary. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. In as a development team and a citywide staff and our liaisons to the boards and commissions, we have taken it where we're actually documenting the action items, and then the minutes or the recordings are available for anyone from the public to go to.
Yeah.
You notice one of the big differences, and this actually came out of one of my other commissions, which was a really good idea. The hardest part is finding out where a new case starts at approximately what time to where a case ends. And if you
I see.
In your minutes, I reference time frames.
Yes.
Represents the approval and then the start times of the approvals of the one item, and which then represents the start time of the next item and so forth. So you have a running chronological order of when those actions approximately took place. And I think it would be easier if
that's great. That's really organized, and it saves a tremendous amount of staff time transcribing all that. That's great. Okay, good.
I have one question.
And I have one change to the minute.
Yeah. Okay.
Ms. McQueen. Yes.
Yes. Under number five, old business. When you at the time, you have 7:163.
Yes. I was going to bring that up. I caught that up myself. So, yes. And I actually think I was going to discuss that, but I've got that crossed out. So that should be 7:16. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Jeff, you had
same thing. Question? Same thing as Patricia.
Okay. All right. So, if there is no objection, we will approve the minutes as printed with one correction identified.
And who made the motion?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Okay.
If there are no objections, we can go ahead and do that per Robert's rules.
Okay.
So, hearing no objection, minutes are approved. Thank you. Our first item of business is case PC 20-11, zoning map amendment to make a change from general commercial, public activity, industrial commercial, high density residential, and single family residential to plan development mixed use. The applicant is University City, Novus. Mr. Cross, would you like to present the staff report?
Yes, I'd be happy to. And actually for this one, I I know we didn't do it last month, but I did prepare a little PowerPoint for this particular one, just to kind of, for the new members, because that's traditionally how we do these ones that people aren't familiar with. Now, last month with the Costco, or earlier this month with the Costco, and with this one, I think you're all very familiar with it anyway, because this has been a project and discussion over the last couple years. But this is the second component to the RPA 1 redevelopment project area, one that's associated with the Olive and 170 TIF. If everyone recalls, that was a TIF that had three different phases in it. RPA 1, which was the anchor and the commercial anchor, which represented the Costco and the commercial developments and the mixed use developments on both sides of Olive, all the way up to, I guess it's Jeffrey Plaza there from the intersection. And then you had RPA 2, which I always get these backwards, I'm sure I will, but RPA 2, I believe, is the strip along Olive where you got the redevelopment there. And then RPA 3 is the residential component that's associated with that overall TIF project. Last month, you got a portion of the RPA 1 development and the Costco in itself that came to you for the PDC. Tonight, we're bringing the remaining 31 acres to you for the PDM component. And then ultimately, after the owners get total control of the entirety of the site, they will consolidate both that one and this one into one larger PDM development. And this really is going to be a mirror of what was proposed in the RPA 1 TIF project. So it's basically a mirror of that. This is just the formal action that we have to take to put the appropriate zoning and a preliminary plan in place for them to move forward with the ultimate construction. So I'm going to attempt to share my screen here and go over this with you, and we'll see what we get. So can you see that?
Yes.
So you see this, the actual beginning slide, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. So as I had said, this is case PC 20-11. This is the zoning map amendment to the PDM district and the preliminary development plan approval for the remaining portion of the RPA 1 site. Okay, so my slideshow is not gonna work, it looks like. Okay. So can you see that now? I'll just have to do it this way. So this, what you see here, is just the front page of your staff report, as you all know, that has the basics associated with the project. And it's case PC 20-11. It's located in Council District 3, as you all know. It's associated with the RPA project area number 1, and it's the zoning map amendment, which is the rezoning and the preliminary plan approval. This just shows the underlying zoning of the multiple parcels that are located within this area, which includes general commercial, public activity, high density residential, and some single family residential within it. All those zoning classifications are part of this and are would be rezoned to a total planned development mixed use underlying zoning district to accommodate the preliminary plan. The existing land uses throughout the development, you know, there's some commercial there, there's some industrial, there's some institutional, and there's some residential components. And really what they're trying to do is rezone it to accommodate the retail, commercial, and the multifamily residential proposal. So if you see this screen, this is the area where I'm moving it, where the Costco itself is going to be. This was the one you considered last month. These areas highlighted in blue represent the remaining 103 properties that would be located within RPA 1. And the shaded areas in blue represent 31.79 acres. And if you remember, the Costco site was roughly 16.1, I believe, for a total of 47.8 acres for the total development if it all comes together. So this is just the aerial of that. You kind of see what you got in there and some of the existing conditions. Some single family residential that's in these three cul-de-sac areas here. You've got I believe this is the Jeffrey Plaza. You've got some office here. This is where the church and everything is. You got the Torah, and then you've got public storage and over here. across the way, you've got, I believe this is Seafood City. You've got some commercial here, and then you've got some I believe this is medium density residential right here, which are some more garden apartment buildings as opposed to the elevator type. Then you've got some more commercial and service oriented businesses right here. But this whole area represented in red represents the 31 acres that we're considering tonight. This area here represented the previous 16 acres that you looked at for the Costco site. This is the aerial of the total 47.85 acres that has commercial, institutional, service, and residential uses all built within. So that's basically within this entire area here. To the rear of where the development will end, you see some single family residential. It's got quite a bit of buffering already there. Back here, you've got a service-oriented business on this end here. Here, you've got the right-of-ways that separate it from single-family residential. And then on the west side, you have Olive and, or 170 that's, goes into Olivet. This is the zoning pattern or the current underlying zoning pattern that will be rezoned to the PDM. These are the single families that are represented in gray. The general commercial is your commercial. The green is public activity. This tan here is the medium density residential. And then the purple is industrial commercial. You know, that's got a lot of moving parts and a lot of zoning in a close area there. That's probably some of the most interlocked, different underlying zoning districts that I've ever seen. I mean, in that group there, they're just there's a bunch of them within a small area. So what the applicant is requesting and the city's requesting this tonight on behalf of the applicant is to do the map amendment to rezone it to the PDM underlying zoning district and then the preliminary plan approval to accommodate the various uses within that. And those uses that are proposed will consist of approximately 189,385 square feet of retail space, a 222 key hotel, or that's 222 room hotel, that's about 20,340 square feet, 184 unit residential elevator apartment type of multifamily development that totals around 193,700 square feet. And the total site will have approximately 1,439 parking spaces. And I'll show you later that meets the required parking. And I think you see it in the staff report. So that's unusual. We haven't got a lot of proposals that meet the parking requirements. And this one actually has a little bit of a surplus. So the applicant is requesting to rezone those various underlying zoning districts to one larger PDM district. And then they would ultimately seek approval of the preliminary plan.
Cliff, I don't know if it makes any difference, but your staff report says 189,305
square
feet. So I don't know if it's, you know, a matter of record or whatever, just pointing it out.
Oh, no, thank you. And yeah, what will happen is in their preliminary plan and they've got it locked in what they submitted. It identifies in those sheets the total breakdown of the square footage, and that'll be the official one that'll be locked in as part of the recorded final plan. But thank you. I mean, I appreciate it. So to move forward with this, I know those of you that's been on the plan commission for a while, you've seen this process. But to move forward with this, it actually requires two different actions. One is the map amendment itself, which is the rezoning, and then the other one is ultimately approval of the preliminary plan, which ultimately leads to approval of a locked-in final plan. Many of you will know it, or many other communities will call it a planned unit development type of concept. But to achieve this for the map amendment, we come before you for a plan commission review, and then ultimately the plan commission makes a recommendation to the mayor and council. This then goes to the mayor and council for the rezoning in the form of a map amendment request and an ordinance. That ordinance goes to the city council for an initial reading. And then at the next meeting, there will be the public hearing where the public has the opportunity to come out and speak for or against the request. And then city council can consider the request and take a second and third reading to either approve, or they can ultimately deny the ordinance. They can send it back to you as the plan commission with some recommendations on some additional things they would like to have looked at. So, but you're a recommending body that ultimately sends this to council. And this just breaks down that after we hold the public hearing, if there is a more than 30% of the people who are notified within that 185-foot boundary, if more than 30% of them file a petition, then it takes a two-thirds vote of the city council as opposed to a simple majority to pass it. So that's the significance of the notifications to the public. So that was the map amendment portion. This is the preliminary plan portion, and this is a little bit different. This one, you're actually approving a preliminary plan concept. Once you approve this or recommend approval of this concept, it goes to council, who then approves a resolution that approves the preliminary plan. That's basically the go button to the developer, that now they can start to go out and do all their engineering, their legwork, and all that stuff to get everything in place. After they get that completed, they then come back to you as a plan commission with what we call a final plan. You review that final plan and you determine whether it is consistent with what was approved in the preliminary plan. And then you forward that recommendation to council, who ultimately approves that final plan via an ordinance at that point that's recorded. So everything is then locked in via ordinance in both with both the rezoning and the final plan. So in this specific case that we looked at, you know, staff looks at the traditional components. What's the density? What's the floor area ratio going to be? Does it meet its parking requirements? Are there any lot consolidations that are needed? What's the engineering look like? I mean, and what's the landscaping look like? And then in this case, the big question has always come up, what's their, do they have ownership or site control to make this application? And they don't have complete site control yet because this is part of, they are in negotiations for the total acquisition of the property. But as we touched on last month, they've got enough vested interest, the city has enough interest in this, that per our ordinance, the plan commission and the city and ultimately city council can actually make the application for the rezoning and the preliminary plan. So what the city has chosen to do is to get all the legwork done and get everything ready for that final action. That is why with whatever recommendation you make here tonight, there will not be final city council action until they have ownership control. So you're basically teeing this up, getting this ready for a one council meeting action to either approve or deny the request the moment that they get control of the properties.
Question?
Yes.
We're not looking at them using eminent domain to secure any of that properties, are we? Or, I mean, I understand there was only a few properties left to negotiate over, but I was, you know, we'd been told many, many times previously that eminent domain would not be in the discussion. So just wanted to clarify.
Well, yeah, no, the city is not, what's, and Mr. Mulligan could probably answer this better than me, but they are actually, in many of these, especially with the Costco site, they are in arbitration proceedings that at some point it's going to give them the ability to make an offer to get those properties. So we are not, the city is not in the practice of doing eminent domain on residential properties and you know, taking eminent domain to get a hold of these. We're just teeing this up. The moment that they have that ability, if they truly get ownership of those properties, that they can move forward with that official request for the rezoning.
There is one property right now, actually two parcels, 8612 and 8630, all of which is the south western corner of McKnight and Olive, and that is in condemnation proceedings right now in St. Louis County Circuit Court. To my knowledge, no other lawsuit has been filed with respect to any property on the map that you see in front of you that's at issue this evening. With respect to the Costco site, which the Plan Commission has already considered, there are two properties there that are in condemnation proceedings pending in St. Louis County. And as Mr. Cross said, arbitration is scheduled for one. And with respect to the other, there will be a hearing by the commissioners appointed by the court to determine the value. And then with respect to 8612 and 8630 Olive, that also will be decided by arbitration. Both those arbitration hearings are scheduled for next month, as is the commissioner's review of the property. So we should have something on the value of the property within 30 days or so after the hearing, at which time the developer will need to make a decision on whether to proceed with the purchase, the acquisition of those properties.
Is that the case for single family homes as well? If they, will they go to arbitration?
So the arbitration agreements were entered into between the developer, well, actually the city, but at the developer's request and with the property owner's request. So basically, when you file a condemnation lawsuit, the city is the what's known as the plaintiff or petitioner, and then you name all those having an interest in the property. And then the court appoints three commissioners who view the property and determine the value and file a report with the court on the value. The developer then would review that, determine whether or not to accept the value or you know, either side could challenge the value and have a jury decide the value. It's called filing exceptions. And so the process is basically laid out in the statutes. Now, arbitration was something that two of these three property owners agreed to do in lieu of having the commissioners hold the hearing and determine the value. So what it does is it brings finality to the process, and that the arbitrator's decision will be final. There will be no jury trial. If somebody disagrees with it, there'll be no appeal. It's just, here's the value, take it or leave it. Although I suppose the parties could negotiate after the arbitrator's award. So it streamlines the process. Now, with respect to the residential property, again, there has been no condemnation proceeding initiated. The single family residential property, council has stated that the condemnation will not be used with respect to those properties. So we neither have any of those properties in condemnation right now, nor has the council indicated a willingness to authorize that. We do have a number of commercial and multifamily properties, primarily on Briscoe on the multifamily. Mr. Cross mentioned the garden apartments there. And those are could be obtained by condemnation by eminent domain if the developer requests that and we go through the process. It's my understanding that at least one group of properties may be going in that direction. You know, there could be a condemnation lawsuit filed, but we have to see how that goes.
Okay, thank you.
Who selects the arbitrator?
The agreement basically calls for the parties to, and the three, there are three arbitrators. They have already been selected for each of those, and the hearing has been scheduled, the hearings.
John, I'm new at this. So the condemnation lawsuit is effectively, is it effectively eminent domain? I mean.
Right. It's the same thing, essentially. Condemnation, eminent domain is the exercise of the government's authority to take property. It's the official title of the lawsuit. It's a condemnation lawsuit.
Okay. So UCity comes in and says, we really, this is important for the community. We want this. Do we do anything? Does UCity do anything to help the businesses relocate to an area, or are there any services around that aspect?
Yes. And by the way, before you can condemn property, there has to be a public purpose. So you can't take private property unless there's a public purpose. In this case, it's to eradicate blight. It's determined that these that this area is blighted within the meaning of that term in this state statute. And so the state statute also has relocation benefits that the owners are entitled to. And on top of that, the city has adopted a relocation policy for the properties that are condemned and taken. And that policy was passed a number of years ago. And then on top of that, the redevelopment agreement addresses relocation. So yes, there are certain benefits that are minimum required by law, and then above and beyond that by the redevelopment agreement and city's policy.
Yeah, if I've got the right version in front of me, I think that was section 3.2 on page 15 of the redevelopment agreement from 2019, where it talks about relocation assistance.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So I've got a few more slides. I'll run through these real quick, and then Chairman Holly, we could field any questions that the members may have. As you see here, y'all know this is the land use comparisons that you see, or land use designations that you see in the 2005 comprehensive plan. Majority of it is represented by mixed use transit oriented types of developments. You do have some commercial here and here. Up here you have some industrial utility, you have some institution here and some single family residential here. And that represents a lot of what's there, but a majority of it does discuss mixed use and commercial types of businesses. When you look at the comprehensive plan in table 19, it talks about what you look to do in those land use designations. And then in commercial, obviously you look to include sales, retail, restaurants, the mixed-use transit. You're looking for any combination of commercial, professional, and residential uses that are encouraged. But I think the big thing about it is, if you look in the comprehensive plan, a lot of that area was designated as redevelopment area number one and needed to be focused on in the 05 comprehensive plan, which is what they did. And if you look, a significant portion of that has been designated for that redevelopment in that redevelopment area one. Mm-hmm. But what you do is you go to that section of the comprehensive plan that talks about those properties. And I know this is hard to read, but I just wanted to give you the section out of the comprehensive plan. But it identifies that those areas that are identified in those redevelopment areas are ideal for a hotel, retail, commercial, because of its close proximity to the Olive and 170 interchange. So, I mean, the concept of this is consistent with what they were looking for in those land use designations and those redevelopment plans of the comprehensive plan. The last thing, you know, we always like to stress this because you still do have some residential to the south of this development after it's done, even though it's still got a significant amount of vegetation. One thing that staff will do, and you always have the option to do as a plan commission, is add additional or more restrictive conditions as part of this to mitigate any potential impacts or concerns with impacts. But this is just to reassure you that staff is obligated to follow a landscape ordinance that would separate these types of uses as part of our administrative review. So in conclusion, staff, in looking at this, because it's in a sense been, you know, approved as part of the redevelopment agreement and the concept plan of the TIF, City Council also further identified the reaffirmation of the Marketed Olive plan via resolution. And it is just, it's consistent with what was approved as part of that overall TIF, and it's consistent with the goals and the intent of the comprehensive plan. Staff is recommending approval of the of both the map amendment and the preliminary plan with one condition. That condition would be that site control must be in place prior to City Council. And that's for the map amendment only. Now, for the preliminary plan, staff is further recommending approval of that preliminary plan based on the same circumstances of the map amendment, and with the conditions, two conditions, one that site control must be in place prior to the City Council approval, and that a lot consolidation must be completed prior to final plan approval. So with that, I'd be happy to, well, the last thing is this would go to the City Council, and I touched on this, City Council will review your recommendation. They can table it for further review at that level. They can table it for further review and shoot it back to the Plan Commission. They can recommend approval with or without conditions, or they could simply recommend denial. So with that, I know I ran through that quickly, and but I wanted to answer any questions that you have and advise that if you make the recommendation to move forward, this would go to City Council and their meeting on January 11th. Then staff would begin to prepare the public hearing and the resolution as well for the preliminary plan. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, and I thank you.
Cliff, it's only going to go to the City Council on January 11th if Novus has control. In other words, if everything has gone through on these arbitration, or is that not the case?
What's intended to happen is when we send it to City Council for the initial reading, for the introduction of the bill for the map amendment, that's all it is. City Council just basically introduces the bill.
Okay.
If they do not have site control, then it will be in a holding pattern before it goes back to them for the second and third reading and final approval, because City Council and Mr. Rose, it's been, you know, the position is they have to have site control and ownership prior to the actual action taking place.
Okay, thank you.
Cliff, this is Chuck. Can you hear me okay? I'm having internet issues.
I can.
Okay. Why is this coming to the Plan Commission without site control? It sounded like from your earlier topic, the way things were set up, they should have site control before it comes to the Plan Commission.
Well, traditionally, when an individual applicant comes to the Plan Commission, they either have ownership or they have an authorization via contract to take the action for the map amendment. With the Costco and with the this RPA 1 portion, they're on a schedule to get construction completed as quickly as possible. So the TIF bonds can, the sooner they get it constructed, the sooner they can start to collect on the TIF and move forward with, you know, with the bonds and so forth. The problem is they can't obtain permits and do anything until they get final plan approval. So the goal is to get all the legwork done, which they can do with the city as a partner because of our interest in the project as well. They want to get everything in place and get all their entitlements in place and feel comfortable with the project and that the city's committed to the project to get it ready for a one council meeting to take the final action. Long story short, it's just they want to get it, they want to get everything in place ready for one meeting to where it can be approved the day after they get ownership of those properties.
Thank you. And the follow-up I had was for John, which I was wondering, the actions that we take from the plan commission standpoint, do they have any impact on the arbitration that will be going on for those other positions? That's where my concern would be, that it would put potentially at homeowners at a disadvantage because we have already taken these actions or approved.
No, this has no impact on the pending condemnation actions.
If I may comment, basically we're still an advisory and we make recommendations to the city council. Is that not correct, Cliff? In other words, city council has the right to reject or accept our recommendations, and that's what we do, is we recommend, but it doesn't mean that what we say is basically the ultimate authority here.
Correct. You're a recommending body only. And I think the city council and city manager Rose are more comfortable with them having ownership prior to the city council taking formal action.
And what did you say the dates of the condemnation proceedings were coming? Were they coming up in January?
Yes. Let's see. I believe public storage is on the 11th, 8612 and 8630 Olive on the 18th. And then on the 4th is the property next to public storage owned by Wallace McNeil.
All right. So we will have, just to be clear, we will have two separate votes. So there will be one on the zoning map amendment and a separate one on the preliminary development plan. Right. So given that, are there any additional questions from the commissioners regarding the zoning map amendment? Hearing none. Is there a motion to recommend to council a zoning map amendment to make a change from general commercial, public activity, industrial commercial, high density residential, and single family residential to planned development mixed use of the property locators in the applicant package under the condition that site control, to plan development mixed use, yes. Under the condition that site control must be in place prior to city council approval.
And lot consolidation?
No, that's under the other one.
Yeah, that will be for the preliminary development plan.
Right.
So moved.
Second? We don't need a second since we're...
Okay.
So small, yes. All right, is there any further discussion about the zoning map amendment? All right, well, all of those in favor, please signify by raising your hands and holding them up till we have a count, right? So that's one of the joys of Zoom. Voice votes are really difficult. All right, let the record show that that has passed unanimously.
And I got Charles's raised hand down there in the corner, so he's got
okay.
to figure it out.
Thank you.
I'm glad that worked.
Good. Our second item of business then is case PC 2020-11, and that is approval of the preliminary development plan. Do any members of the commission have questions regarding the preliminary development plan? Ms. McQueen.
Yes, I noticed in the packet, you know, the pictures that I have not seen before. Are these like the multi-residential apartment units in back? I'm trying to see if it has a page number. It doesn't really have a page number, but. Five pages back from the end, 5 or 6 pages back.
Yeah, no, that's my understanding of the multifamily residential units. And those will be roughly, my understanding is 5 stories in height. They incorporate in the staff report. The beauty is, those can be further, this is approval, that this is exactly why we do the concept approval. You can really start to narrow down the specifics associated with it, you know, when you come to the final plan as well, in terms of, you know, locking in everything. But yeah, that represents the concept of the 5-story multifamily elevator apartment development.
Where's the access to, which street is the primary access to these apartments? Is that going to be off of Woodson?
No, I think they come.
McKnight?
It looks like it's off McKnight.
Is there any road? I don't know about traffic. That's all city there, correct? That we're not talking about. I mean, I know we're talking Olive being county controlled in some ways there, but city's in control of McKnight and Woodson at that particular area. Is that not correct, or is the county also involved, you know, on those two streets? I'm thinking about, you know, the increase in traffic flow along there, and with both of those being kind of single lane.
Well, and that's exactly why I reference engineering reports. So if you're concerned with that, I mean, there will be traffic studies completed as part of the review. I know there have been discussions on Olive already. This goes all the way back to, you know, when they were originally introducing the concept. And I know that, like, for example, the Costco site has had significant amount of discussions with St. Louis County and MoDOT and the whole nine yards as part of that review. You know, in terms of traffic counts, those will be determined and all negative impacts will be addressed as part of the engineering review.
That wouldn't lead to any problems on the eastern side of McKnight or Woodson, where we have the residential, or where we have the other. I guess there's only like one business along there. The rest of it is the city-owned properties, I think, on the east, except for the very front there. But basically, you're talking primarily about if there were needed widening of the road, it would be probably towards the western or towards the side. I'm just guessing at this point, but I don't know if anybody has any, you know, any idea of you know, how that would impact, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike, I had similar question, because it, at least as I'm looking at the sheet labeled project data that highlights all the parking spaces, it looks like McKnight is the primary access, both for the residential and the hotel. So that's a lot of, you know, 222 keys plus, you know, the residential. That's that's a lot of traffic going in and out. So recognize, you know, and usually when we see a preliminary development plan, as we have with the Delcrest development and with the Deutsch development on the west side of 170, we've seen the traffic studies. So those have already been complete. And in this case, you know, we don't have that yet.
Right.
So do we want to add that as a condition prior to city council, or is that important enough that we want to look at it before we recommend approval?
This is,
yeah, that's definitely something you have the authority to do. You can request that it go to Traffic Commission prior to council action. We can reach out to them. I know traffic was significantly looked at, if I recall back when they were originally talking about the redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and we saw, you know, the traffic study with the Costco, but my recollection is that you know, so Mike's question about what's going to happen on McKnight, because as we were looking at the Costco, we didn't even see that driveway, I don't think was included. Ms. Patricia, I think Ellen had her hand up earlier, so I think she's next and then we'll get you.
I have a basic question, and that is, these are preliminary site plans. I don't think traffic is a trivial issue to talk about. I think that's important.
Okay, Ellen, I'm sorry. I need to clarify. The traffic study that you got last month, earlier this month, was the original traffic study for the entire development.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, go ahead.
It was the September 25th, 2018 traffic study that was required as part of that process. And there was a technical memo that I believe was included in your packet that then also discussed the traffic study. And if you look at the page, it's exhibit one, and that particular page shows what they were looking at was included the anchor 158,000 square foot Costco, and then the 5,500 square foot off of that, I'm assuming that's the canopy, or the retail over there on that side. And then it talked about having an additional 227,000 square foot of retail, which is actually 35 or 40,000 more square feet of retail than what they're actually asking for now. Then it talks about the hotel, but it was a 98 unit hotel with a 90 unit senior living and then 176 apartments. So the difference to what they are doing now compared to what they were originally looking at doing is they basically removed the senior living component and replaced it with a hotel that's double what they originally were proposing. And then apartments that are roughly the same. I think there's about 12 less or 12 more apartments here than what there was before. So in other words, what's that, 170 or 188 plus 176, whatever that math is. So they're talking about 364 units they were looking at there, where here they're talking 184 and 222. So there's about 40 more units, but about 35,000 less square feet in retail.
How many units are in the area already? Residential units?
I was trying to count on a map, but I know that there's multifamily. I don't know if you have that number on hand.
I do not, but I can get you a rough estimate, and I can eyeball them. GIS.
Yes, Patricia. Okay.
But wait, I wasn't. I didn't.
Okay, have you built Ellen?
So my question was, how much detail do we want to pick at with this plan? Because I'm very interested in the drainage and the water and the plants, and I went over their plant list and I have some issues. That's for another time, right? That's not for now.
Yeah, I mean, it's for today, tonight. Yes, absolutely. So if
those are questions I can't answer because, and unfortunately, the developers couldn't be here tonight. They had to. So if that's the case and you need those answers from their team, I would recommend you would have to table this. If that's the information.
Well, they're not important enough.
No, I think they are, Ellen. I think, you know, this is our opportunity to establish things that we think are important and need to be included in the preliminary development plan.
Yes.
Make a recommendation to council.
Yes. Okay. Well, I was very impressed with the planting, except for two different species. And I think that this is not worth at all tabling because of two species of grasses, really. I mean, and I can deal with that the next time around. And they...
I think we need to do it now.
Okay.
Now.
Okay, so could I, so shall I just make a suggestion then, or what do you want me to do? Because I do not want this to be tabled because of my issues with two plants. I'm serious. It's not worth it. This is way.
Well, and your issue is that they are non-natives or?
They are not natives and they are invasive. And there are native species that we can, that can be planted. I have a list.
Okay.
In their place, it's not hard to substitute these grasses.
And
if we want to make a condition that that's a condition, then I'm cool.
Yeah.
You can do that.
So we put in here that all plantings that are to be, native species and
oh no, you don't want to do that. Those two, because there are a lot of trees that they suggested that are terrific and they're not native to Missouri, but they
okay.
Do fine. So it's not a blanket, everything has to be natives. It's just about those two.
All right, so non-native invasive species are to be removed from the planting list.
Just two plants. The dwarf mountain
grasses.
Yeah, two dwarf, and I will name them in the conditions when we get to that point. Okay.
Okay. Great.
I did a quick look at the and Charles, I'm assuming you were talking about those medium density residential garden apartments, what that density was on them.
Yeah.
Looking at that cul-de-sac with my GIS, you've got the various lots there. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Assuming I think those are four units. So, and then they got the large one in the front that I'm thinking's probably got 8, 12, 16 in it. So I had estimated there's anywhere from 48 to 52 units in that cul-de-sac area.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Patricia.
Yes. I'm not sure from the etchings that we have, is this only RP1, like on the north side of Olive, or is this, are we talking about all of, is RP1 both the north side and the south side of Olive? And there's a reason why I asked that, it's because I'm asking, north, where is the hotel?
No, we're talking about north and the whole RPA site minus the Costco.
Okay, so where is the hotel?
North and south.
Where is the hotel? Because I don't see an etching of that area at all. I don't see the sketch for the southern part of where I guess they think that the hotel is going to be.
So once you get into the...
Patricia, I'm going to share a screen.
Yeah.
See this where my hand is? On this? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the boundaries where it is, okay? So up here, you take these out here, these are the Costco. This okay. is on the north side. This is included in this request. And then everything on the south side. So from this cul-de-sac here to this road all around. The hotel, my understanding is around here.
Okay.
And I'm assuming, and I'll tell you why I think they're pretty comfortable with you. So you got to remember, you've got these 48 to 52 units here, and then however many here. So I can account for them too in units that'll be going and traffic going back here to the. But the logic would be that they are going to be able to get this access here somewhere and work it in, because there's an existing curb cut here, so it's going to be a lot easier as long as, unless you start, you know, making a ton of curb cuts, you shouldn't have a problem from an engineering standpoint getting one curb cut from here to here, especially if you're replacing an existing one. So, okay. But the hotel's here, and I believe, or let me confirm that. So
let me just make one little point. You know, we've been listening to other developments around about hotels. I'm in favor of the hotel. Let me just make sure I'm in favor of the hotel. But considering, and I have the hotel feasibility report. It seems like right now, this is the only hotel that's going forward. And so I am very in favor of the hotel. Because the according to the hotel feasibility report, the one that was most favorable might not happen. If we listen to Centene going on and on, I don't know if you've seen some of the news reports. The one by Delcrest suddenly evaporated into just apartment units. So I just want to make sure that they know that we are in favor of this hotel.
I'm with you.
And I hope I don't hear any changes in the future.
Okay. Tricia, I just wanted to confirm. Okay, so here's our site. Costco, this is what's on the north side. So the hotel is actually O. So if you look at your sheet here, so that maybe I misread that. So the hotel is actually O. So the hotel looks like, I'm trying to blow this up to where you can see it.
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay. Hotel, apartments.
Okay.
See the apartments down there closer to?
Okay.
Apartments, hotel.
Okay.
You read that right. That's a Q, right? And that's an O.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm actually seeing the southern side of the development. You know, if I see the apartments, I see the apartments etched here. I just didn't see the hotel.
Yes.
Yeah. And the illustrations are a little bit confusing in that, you know, north is traditionally straight up, but in the case of this package, they're all to the right, which means that south is to the left. Right.
Right.
Okay. All right. That was a little confusing.
Okay.
All right, other questions on the preliminary development plan?
Yes, Peg?
Yes. Hello. Mike?
Yes. Okay, first of all, I really think that what we are going to see or consider is, if they're eliminating senior housing, I see that as being a less of a traffic issue. In other words, versus a different population that's being considered there. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration. But I really personally feel that we need, at the very least, an updated traffic study. You know, based on, I mean, they can go from what they had previously, but I think needs to be looked at in terms of where we're at now. Not everything's the same as it was before. And I think it's a significant enough change here that, you know, that it needs to be looked at. That's my opinion.
Okay. All right.
And I'd be willing to make that one of the conditions of of us moving forward.
Thank you. Other questions, Tori?
Yes, as a biker, just curious to know, are there any requirements for like bike racks and or bike trails for this whole area?
There are in the city code, and that, I didn't see them on the plan. Right.
Yeah, they're going to have to do some cleanup.
And kind of building off of Tori's comment, I mean, right along McKnight, we also have the hiking trail through the woods by Ruth Park. And it looks like one of the entrances to the hotel or apartments is right in that place. So I worry about what that access would look like and how that would impact the park. It seems like a great opportunity to tie into to Tori's comment. But on the negative side of it, worried about runoff as well into that area, which I already know gets pretty wet as it is.
Mm-hmm. With regard to the runoff, I looked at that very carefully, and I see that the grading is pretty good away from the south side of the property and the south side of the south of Olive property. And I see that there are a lot of rain gardens, and I think that they have pretty well taken care of the drainage of the parking lots into these retention structures. One question I would like to ask them at some point is, what do they do with the rain that falls on the roofs? Where does that water go? But I think that because of the sewage district, they cannot have increased discharge into those properties. If that trail is wet now, it cannot get wetter because of this development. And hopefully it will get less wet.
That's what I was going to tell you. You hit it on the head, Ellen. The beauty is because of the entirety of the site, it falls under MSD. They're going to take a look at it, and you're going to get improved drainage here as in its totality, just from an administrative review and what staff will require them as part of the plan review and construction process. Now, if there are specific details or things that you want to add and you need them to commit to, that's something that, you know, you're going to want to do before the recommendation, if it's something that's outside of the administrative staff control, or at least put it in your conditions. But you're going to get improved drainage throughout the entirety of this site with any development, just because of the new codes.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to cause any additional effects on the remainder of U City in terms of flooding thing? Because there is a channel currently that runs behind those businesses on McKnight, the ones that sit in the rear where the restaurants and things are at. I know there's a channel along the the area that we previously discussed.
I think you get more flooding, and I'm not an engineer, but I think you get more flooding when you get these little individual less than acre sites that build here, here, and here, and they're individually reviewed, and you don't get, maybe for one reason or another, you don't get the full downstream analysis. I think the beauty, because it's of this site and the complexity of this site, with that, you're going to get a downstream analysis that's going to tell you. And if there is going to be some additional hazards created, they're going to have to mitigate it.
There are some pretty massive detention ponds, especially in the northeast corner of the, like, little bit east of Costco in the back there. I mean, I was really impressed with their water management, and I think that the creek is going to be less impacted by this development than it is than it's impacted now, just the way Cliff said.
So are we talking about, I'm sorry, just to clarify, are we talking about the River De Pere Creek that's behind the businesses on the north side of Olive? Or are we talking about something on the south side?
Both.
Talking south side.
The whole, I'm talking about the whole property and all.
Okay. Concerns. All right. But Mike specifically mentioned.
South.
Yeah. But is it on the north or the south side?
It's on the south side.
On the south.
It's along, it's I guess it's between the, what's the street that we're talking about there?
Mayfair.
Yes.
Mayflower.
Right there, you know, there is the channel that runs through there, because I used to get concerned about the restaurant illegally dumping into that channel and having that water, you know, going from there down into our system.
Yeah, and that's
so, you know, that runs behind all those businesses on along Olive there, further, you know, further along on the east of there.
Right, and so what I was saying was the grading shows that the water is going to be the inflow is encouraged north, so the water will run to the north and to the east instead of running to the south into the creek the way it does now. And that should make a difference. And it certainly won't be more. It's going to be less.
John.
So you all, I think, have been asking a lot of great questions. And, you know, kind of following up on Mr. Gaskin's point earlier, you know, why are we doing this now if he doesn't have site control? And so maybe this will help your understanding of where we are in the process and just what's before you this evening. So you recommended approval of the Costco site plan at the December of the map amendment and preliminary development plan on December 3rd. Now that plan is pretty close to being in final. It's not the final development plan, of course, but there was a lot of work that went into that, and you got all the details on that one presented to you. And if the developer moves forward and acquires the land for that roughly 16 acre site, it's going to be built pretty much the way you saw it, the way it was presented to you on December 3rd. This is a different situation. And this is a situation where Costco wanted to know, who will its neighbors be? You know, it's important that they understand, are we going to have hotels, senior living, apartment? You know, who will be around our store? And so what the council did on December 14th is it passed a resolution finding that the Market at Olive site plan that's attached to the resolution is consistent with the redevelopment agreement, which has a site plan. So if we back up to when this redevelopment agreement was approved last year, there's a site plan, and that site plan was approved by the council. It's a conceptual site plan, doesn't have all the details, but in concept, the council approved that as part of the redevelopment agreement. Of course, the developer has to go through the zoning process, including what we have this evening. And so that redevelopment agreement site plan, again, was approved, and the developer submitted a formal Market at Olive site plan that the council said, at least at a preliminary level, is consistent with the redevelopment agreement site plan. So, and the reason why that resolution was passed was it shows Costco that there's support for the concept site plan that was approved by the redevelopment agreement, including the various uses that are shown in that site plan. So now Costco knows, okay, I've got support here for these different uses that will be around my store, okay? And so in this situation tonight, you've got a zoning map amendment requested for, you know, who's gonna be around the Costco store, what's the development gonna look like? But as Mr. Cross said, that is conditioned on site control, in terms of getting the map amendment. So what may ultimately be built may not be what you have before you tonight, because it's going to depend on whether the developer acquires this property. It's going to depend on whether the developer reaches agreements with a hotel operator, with apartment, perhaps an apartment complex, various retail uses. All these agreements have to be worked out before it's going to be developed. That's different than Costco. Costco's agreed to the site plan. All those details have been agreed to. What you have before you tonight, some of them may, and we're not privy to all the different agreements and arrangements that the developer has with, you know, potential users of the property, retail users, residential users, and the like. So it could very well be that, 6 months, a year from now or more, the developer comes back and the developer says, look, I tried to negotiate with the Briscoe Court Apartments. I tried to negotiate with Bob Seafood. I tried to negotiate with one of the other owners, and I couldn't reach an agreement. It was too expensive, so I'm not going to build a hotel. I'm not going to do apartments, or this retail use is not going to take place. And here's my vision, and here's what I want based on what I have before me. Then they could withdraw this and submit a new one. And as we know, from your recent experience with Delcrest Plaza, sometimes what you get initially is not what ultimately makes it across the finish line. So while these are all good questions and they're important, and it's your crack at asking them and getting information, it's not necessarily going to be what is developed. And so. This, as Mr. Cross said, this will go, if you recommend approval, it will go to the council, and it will be introduced, the map amendment, but nothing's going to happen until we know more about site control, until we know more about what, will this project actually be built the way that it's being presented to you this evening. And once the developer gets site control and says, hey, I've got the agreement in place for hotel apartments, you know, everything you're seeing on here, then it can move forward, and it can be done at only one meeting, as Mr. Cross said. It would be, because it's already been introduced, you'd have your public hearing on it, and then your second and third reading, and you're done. But this indicates your support for this concept, and to move it on to the next stage at this point. And that's my understanding, is that's the purpose of having this on the agenda and moving forward with it at this time. Now, having said that, the developer, as Mr. Cross said, couldn't make it and this evening. If you have additional questions that you want to pose to the developer, that's fine. But you know, Mr. Cross and I aren't in a position to answer some of these questions, because it's not our project. You know, we just don't have those details. So I hope this additional background, enlightens you on, you know, where you are and you know, what your options are at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patricia. Yes.
I have just a are there any other governmental bodies that have to review this? Like I've heard MSD. I know that sometimes there has to be something done with transportation. I mean, we're not the only ones reviewing this project. Is that correct?
Correct. MSD's reviewed, you know, this project and concept. MSD's, you know, MoDOT's reviewed it. St. Louis County's reviewed it. Now, that said, those are reviews and blessings, very similar to what you have here. The actual permits and stuff will require a formal review. But developers, and that's the whole purpose of this type of concept, developers are not going to spend that kind of money to prepare something to get it there and then, you know, get all that stuff done and then come to the city or the commission and say, we've got this idea, everything's all ready, everybody's on board 100%. And the city say, I hate it. We're not going to approve it. That's the purpose of this chronological order. The concept gives them the reassurance to start to put the real legwork, effort, and quite frankly, money into those plans that are very expensive to get for official reviews and approvals or prepared sign-offs. Once that's done, then that's when they finalize the plan, bring it to you. Because what could happen is they could go there and say that on one of those curb cuts, St. Louis County says, no, you needed another 10 feet this way. You needed another 10 feet that way, or you need to move this over there. The concept's consistent with what you approve, but now they know exactly where they got to place everything. Then they would, because there's flexibility with the final plan, to bring it back to you with minor changes. It doesn't have to be an exact mirror of what you have, minor changes, but they can't like add density. That's why Mr. Mulligan can tell you, that's why when we do our ordinances and resolutions with, especially with the residential component, we lock in the maximum number of units that are allowed. We lock in the maximum number or the minimum number of parking spaces required. Things like that that are dimensional, so to speak, and could completely change the project.
So, let me see, before we move forward, we probably ought to note that Mr. Harvey has joined us. Okay, so I will say then that I am a bit confused in that the staff report in the background section specifically said to move forward, the underlying zoning and plan approval must be completed to obtain applicable permits for construction. The implication there is that construction permits are next.
How was that? Where was that at?
Page 2 of 6 in the background section.
It's quartering about plan to move forward. The underlying zoning and plan approval must be completed. Yeah, that that's final plan approval. I didn't put. So underlying zoning will not allow them to pull permits, but ultimately for them to pull permits, they have to receive the final plan approval. I could have maybe
okay. Should have a preliminary okay. plan. All right, thank you, because that it was a I interpreted that as you know, this action needed to be taken, which was why we were having a second meeting in December and that construction permits were imminent.
Right.
No, all right.
They won't be able to do any permits until you're going to see this in final plan form before they're anywhere near ready to pull the permits.
Okay. Yeah. Let me see. Are there any other questions from commissioners? Hearing none, I'm going to make one observation that again in the in the staff report, it specifically talks about under the section on sidewalks on page 5, it talks about pedestrian friendly and walkable environment. And as I recall our conversation on the 3rd of December, when we talked about the Costco site, the as I understand it, the development agreement said that the interface with the Centennial Greenway was going to be in the south section. It was not a part of the Costco site, and yet I didn't see anything in this plan that indicated there was any interface, that there's any sidewalk between the residential and the hotel to get to the Greenway. Just looks like a dangerous thing for pedestrians, and I'd,
You can add that condition in there.
Peggy, I would also kind of build off of that, the area McKnight where we already have the park trail as well. This is an area where we're going to have two pedestrian walk, pedestrian traffic areas and parks. And I think it's important that, they're integrated into the access plan, either for parking for people to access those trails or even just to walk back and forth to them or cut across.
There is currently, the ability for people using the trails there or the park trails to park right there, because I do like to walk in there occasionally. And so I usually park right there on McKnight. So, hopefully we won't be eliminating actual parking on McKnight, for this development. Otherwise, access to the trail will kind of be interrupted.
I have a point of, information.
Yes, Patricia.
Yeah, I have something from January 14th, 2019. I guess it was the redevelopment agreement. I guess it's the draft of it. And they say under one of the articles, let me see if I can say this correctly. Article 3, section 3.9, they were talking about special development conditions. Number 4, they actually mentioned the developer will cooperate with the city and Great Rivers Greenway regarding the construction of a pedestrian pathway across the south face at a mutual agreeable location to connect with the Centennial Greenway as a trailhead and or as a potential future connection to a connecting trail at Ruth Park Woods. The developer is not required to incur any costs of designing or constructing the pathway, but agrees to convey an interest in the property on which the pathway will be located in the city or Great Rivers Greenway. The developer is not required to maintain the trail. Is this saying that they're looking at this, or is this something
what it tells me, and John may have better light on this. Basically what it tells me is it is predetermined that the developer provides the city an access easement that we got to build one and design it to access it from that site. Is that correct, John? Thank you. You're muted.
I'm sorry. I was muted. I think that's a fair description of it, Cliff. And also I would point out that in 3.9A1, the developer agreed that in consideration of the public participation and financing this project, that the city expects the project to include enhanced aesthetic features, including facades, landscaping, bicycle parking, and access from Centennial Greenway. And then Ms. McQueen elaborated on that in A4 by basically reading the language in there. And the developer is not required to maintain the trail at issue, but it certainly is recognized as something that would be in the south part of this project, this geographic part of it.
Mm-hmm. John, could they, as a condition, put a condition in this preliminary that the applicant demonstrate compliance with the special development conditions of the redevelopment plan as part of their final plan submittal?
Sure. I guess the question is on that, Cliff. I think this kind of detail can be worked out as part of the final, don't you?
That's
what I'm thinking too, and that's what we would look for there. So I think the city would want to make sure, and will make sure, that the redevelopment agreement is complied with before there's final approval for the project. Do you need a condition that they're going to obey the or comply with the redevelopment agreement? I don't know that you need it, but it doesn't hurt. we just need to make sure that that there is compliance, before final approval is given. So we see all the details and that it is consistent with the redevelopment agreement.
So, as I'm looking at kind of the list of the laundry list of issues that
we have five
raised here. Oh, Patricia, I'm sorry.
But no, I'm saying we have five conditions so far.
Charles has raised his hand too.
Just to kind of build off of what John was saying and what Cliff was saying, this idea that, the Centennial Greenway and Ruth Park Woods, and there would be some connection between the two, that seems like a significant part of the plan, regardless of if it's a hotel, the number of apartments, if it's a senior living facility. And the fact that that is not included in the plan at all really gives me pause. So to me, that is it's a big sticking point. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. All right. So I think we have, so what I noted as a part of the discussion is there's the condition of site control being in place. Lot consolidation is complete, right? Mm-hmm. We have a traffic study update that Mike requested. We have a request for the drainage and runoff plans. Removing the non-native invasive species from the plan. Mm-hmm. And this, the compliance with the special development conditions of the development agreement, detailed in the final plan, including the compliance with the bicycle parking requirements, pedestrian traffic access to Centennial Greenway and the trails on east side of McKnight. So I'm counting, at least six conditions on this. And the question might be, at least from in my mind, the process for updating the traffic study. So do we want to see an updated traffic study before we move this to council, or are we ready to, what would be the process then to say we want an updated traffic study and give a date, or do we want to wait on, are we happy waiting for that with the final plan?
It seems to me that we should wait until the final plan, because they've got work to do getting the rest of the property, and we can say, yeah, go ahead. I mean, we're with you, And then we can ask for those other things later, because I don't think it would be good to hold this up.
And just a point of clarification on the non-native species, and Alan, you might want to chime in on this. I don't think it's the concern about a non-native species, it's non-native grasses that are invasive.
It's just two non-native invasive grasses.
Exactly.
I was going to clarify that.
Okay, I've changed it to grasses. Thank you.
It's just, I don't want them to think that we don't want any non-native like trees. Oh,
that's exactly what I, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, thank you. And I'll be happy to say the two grasses if you want me to say in the condition which ones should be replaced, I will be happy to do that.
Cliff, do you think that would be useful or?
It wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to do that now?
Yes, please, so we can make sure we have that correct.
The condition about native species with regard to grasses. There are 25 dwarf fountain grass and 14 molden grass that are proposed, and they can be replaced by native species, the dwarf. You don't need to have a list of those.
So what was the
14? Yeah,
what was the 14 for the record, Ellen? I'm sorry, so I can get it written.
Molden, M-O-L-D-E-N, molden grass, and it's miscanthus.
Gotcha.
That's the scientific name. I think maybe I would like to say for the record what they should be replaced with.
Okay.
The dwarf fountain grass can be replaced with wonderful alternatives of Calamagrastis fallosea, Muhlenbergia, Spirobolus, Stipa, and Descampsia. The molen grass can be replaced with big blue stem, little blue stem, Indian grass, and I have those in my front yard. I'm done. Thank you for indulging me.
Oh no, this is not indulgement. These are issues that are important to our community.
Yes, I think so. Because it's a model. Everybody's going to see this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know the key word is invasive, right? So once you put it somewhere, it's going to wind up in places.
Right? I mean, the molden grass, you should see if you look on the internet, it talks about how fast it spreads and how hard it is to pull out, and you have to pull it, and it goes in between rocks and pebbles, and it's like, really, we don't need that. And it just takes over, and if I lived by that development and that stuff was coming in my yard, I would be really mad.
Okay, so we have, I believe, six conditions that we would add to a motion to recommend City Council approval. Is that, did we capture all six of those? Mr. Cross is nodding, but I'm not seeing.
I've got site control, lot consolidation, updated traffic study prior to final. Is that correct?
Yes.
Removing non-native aggressive grasses. And I've got the list of them. I don't even know if I can pronounce them, but I will get them incorporated. And that they have compliance with the redevelopment plan. Those are the ones that I have. And their compliance with the redevelopment plan covers the access to the greenway and the trails. Mm-hmm. And ensures that. It's just kind of a double down to ensure they understand what's in the redevelopment agreement as part of this as well.
Yeah.
Cliff, can you explain that a little bit more. I just want to make sure it's clear to council that the part that we're most concerned about has to do with the Centennial Greenway and the Ruth Park Woods access. Is that, would that be clear in the wording? I know Jeff's obviously on the call, but.
I'll word it in the, when I do the cover memo and the cover letter, I will word it in there and I will actually cite the section of the redevelopment plan that they need to be, in compliance with that, with the design for the connections to the trails. And I'd be happy to, we'll run it by Mr. Mulligan and make sure everything's clear for the council.
All right. Are there any further questions or discussion?
Just that one final clarification that we're agreeing to, move this forward with the understanding that those additional conditions will be addressed prior to final approval. Is that correct?
Prior to final plan
approval. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Final plan. With the exception of the site control, they're not going to be able to get approval of the rezoning or even the preliminary plan until they have that site control.
Right.
All related. Okay.
Okay. Is there a motion to recommend to council approval of the preliminary development plan presented under these typos? Under the conditions that site control must be in place and lot consolidation complete prior to presentation to council, and that prior to the presentation of the final development plan to the plan commission, we need an updated traffic study, that the drainage and runoff plans need to be included, that the non-native invasive grasses are replaced with the species identified by Ms. Hartz, and that the final plan is in compliance with the special development conditions of the development agreement, including bicycle parking requirements and pedestrian traffic access to Centennial Greenway and trails on the east side of McKnight.
That's correct, with the exception that the lot consolidation would be prior to final plan approval.
Right.
It couldn't be prior. The only thing that would need to be in place prior to the initial plan preliminary and rezoning for council is the site control.
Okay. So do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
As stated.
is there any further discussion of said motion? If not, would all those in favor please signify by raising your hands and hold them up until we get a final count, please. And Chuck, I'm not sure how you raise your hand.
He does. He puts his little...
I got it up.
Okay, cool. It's one of those great features of Zoom. All right. The record needs to show that the measure is approved unanimously by the Plan Commission. Thank you all for your time this evening. In terms of other business, I guess we have Mr. Hales, do you have anything to share with the commission?
I have nothing to share other than to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. Hanukkah obviously is over, so happy Hanukkah belated. And here's to wishing 2021 to be a much better year.
It's a lot more fun. And Mr. Miller, we're going to, once again, we didn't imagine we were going to have a second meeting in December. Once again, hats off to you. Thank you for your service to the city. And
you're here.
Yes. Plan Commission. Thank you. Yours is a voice that's going to be missed.
Oh, my goodness. You are. Thank you so much.
Yes.
It's been great being on the commission with you.
Yeah. Mr. Cross, do we have any updates on our RFP?
Yes. No, we haven't got to that point yet. We did just, what I will say though, it's going to make a difference now. We did have our final Economic Development Strategic Task Force meeting on the final, to get the final version of the, and comments on that, that we would think would go to mayor and council for discussion early in 2021, maybe as early as the second meeting in January. Where I'm going with that is once that is done and formally adopted, that will give us a guiding document to also evaluate as we begin to build the final RFP. We haven't had it, it's been kind of, since our last meeting on the third with this month and everything, we haven't had a lot of our regular meetings just because people are in and out and things like that. So I plan on getting that on. I could actually put it on our development group agenda to discuss maybe as early as next Tuesday. And then I can email you an update if you would like.
Great, that'd be marvelous.
Your economic plan is, I was so impressed.
Yes.
Really, it just was humbling. It was really impressive and we can—
It's a good looking plan, I got it.
We can take a lot of that work and put it right into the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, it's got a lot of detail. It's a good plan. And it goes down to the form-based code concepts. And it's got a great implementation feature within it that I think is going to be a good lead into our comprehensive plan.
Good. I missed what you were referencing. You kind of broke up on me.
What did you say? I'm Charles.
What plan were you talking about referencing?
The economic plan, development plan that Cliff was talking about is finalized and is going to be presented to the city council next month. And it's a spectacular community effort with a lot of background information and insight and forward looking that I think that we as a plan commission can use as a model for going forward with our comprehensive plan. And
can you tell us where we should be accessing these kinds of documents?
Sure. Yeah, you can go. Yeah, tell them. I kind of know because I like going to the city site.
Actually, we can park that one out on the Google Drive just to make it easier for everybody.
I'll shoot everybody an email. You can access a lot of the older documents and stuff on the city website and the city page. This one, there was actually a website that was created for it throughout the process with updates.
Yeah.
And, I will get that to you and you can link it and it can give you the time frame, the meetings, the comments, the surveys and everything that was associated with it and get you an update on the schedule and the status.
Fabulous.
And I think that if you are really, really nice to Cliff, he might give you a paper copy of it. But you have to be really nice.
Yeah, it's going to cost you two Jilly's cupcakes.
Yeah.
For the record, I do not need any paper copies of anything. So
okay.
Don't worry about sending me any paper.
And there's also the market study that was done, I guess, before the actual report was done. That was an excellent report, too.
Right here. Yeah. I can get you a copy of that, too. And, yeah, I'll get you that link. Please feel free. I try to keep up. But if there's ever anything, just let me know. We don't got to wait for a meeting. Just shoot me an email, and I'll get it to you as quickly as possible.
I appreciate that. I'm trying to catch up, so thank you.
And I will say,
we're all trying to catch up. This train is moving very quickly.
Well, the other thing is, Mr. Rose has started the community report that we put out weekly, and I think that's an important thing to
really good
get in there as well when things were coming up, and that kind of keeps everybody up to date in the community about all the departments.
Yes. And I want to just say to Chuck that I'm really a Luddite because I still read the New York Times in the morning with the paper version. Oh, yeah.
The environmental impact.
Don't do that. I can't help it. I'm old and I have my habits.
I'm being facetious.
My oatmeal and my newspapers, oh my gosh, don't take it away.
You can increase the size online, I'm just saying.
I know, I get it. I know, you are absolutely right. And I'm ready to give in when I have to, but I don't have to yet. If Cliff will give me a paper copy, okay, I'll be happy.
Okay. Is there any other business to be conducted this evening? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for all of your work in 2020 and looking forward to an exciting 2021.
And thanks again.
All right, thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays, everybody.